Yeah, I mean, I just feel as if I'm being like, I don't want to come off as a prima donna. Like, the podcast has to be named me because I am the most important being on this planet. You are all a bunch of NPCs in this video game called Neil.
Nice.
You ever been killed by an
NPC?
Did
I just out myself?
Okay, fancy ramen intro screen again. Why are you laughing? What did I do wrong this time?
No, it was great. It was perfect. Hello, everyone. It's Fancy Ramen episode 155. The date is March 22nd, and I don't know about you guys, but this is social isolation day 3 for me. Maybe day 2.
We had friends over last night.
Wait, what?
We had a small gathering.
What? Why would you do that?
People. Because we're risk takers.
Oh, that's not true.
Yeah, it's not true at all.
I didn't think so. They had a rousing two-player game of Machi Koro.
What's Machi Koro?
Oh, it's sort of like... It's like a city-building game. It's very fun.
Yeah, except for instead of an entire city, you're just building four...
coffee shops. Just coffee shops. As far as the eye can see. the way that the game basically works, for anybody who likes board games, this is, I think, a thumbs up board game from both Cookie and I. We've played it together. He introduced me to it. You essentially have four different types of like attractions or resources that you can build, and there's a variety of different things within those categories. And so there are like risk reward ones, there are straight reward, there are straight risk ones that you can essentially build. And it's all about like balancing the resources that you have to get lucky enough with dice rolls that you come out on top with the resources that you have.
Yep. Speaking of Machi Koro, we did actually play last week and before the self-isolation stuff happened. And I implemented one of Lizzie's strategies that she always tries for, and I beat her.
Nice.
With her own strategy.
It hurts to get beaten by your own strat.
Yeah, especially the strat that she like keeps going for it, and it never works for her.
Yep.
But yeah, life. Hi, guys.
You're not going to explain the strategy?
Oh, I guess I could explain the strategy.
I mean, depending on like if you think it's worthwhile to.
Oh, yeah. So Machi Koro, the way it's built out is there are three different colored cards that you can have. Blue cards, that if you own the blue card, if someone rolls a dice, you get money with a blue card. With a green card, you only get money if you roll the number on the dice. And with the red card, you get to take money from other people if they roll that number on the dice. So one of my common strategies is to buy all of the, oh God, I think it's the coffee shop, where if an opponent rolls a 3,
they
you
owe
get
you
a
money.
Coin from them.
Yeah. And he ran me out of business with this goddamn coffee shop last time we played.
Oh yeah, because you can get, like, you can stack up these to where I think at points I was getting like 8 or 9 coins from people. But Lizzie's strategy has always been to own a lot of farms. And then if you own a lot of farms, if you roll a 2 or 3, you get a coin. And it's a green card. On top of that, there's another card that you can buy. It's like a shopping mart or something. And if you roll a 7, so you've got to roll 2 dice. If you roll a 7, you then get 4 coins for each farm that you have. Lizzie always tries to implement this, but she never goes to be able to roll 2 dice at once early enough. So
she never gets that sweet, sweet subsidy that she's hoping for.
Yeah. So I ended up getting that. So like every roll, I was pretty much rolling a 7 after the first couple of rounds, because there are also cards that allow you to re-roll a dice or 2 dice. Mm-hmm. And since 7, when rolling 2 6-sided dice, is the most common amount of the most common number that you can get, I was just pretty much rolling sevens every turn, making about 20 coins a turn. Oh, and the wife is disputing it. She said, no, I would roll two dice and would never freaking roll the seven.
Is that true on dice? Really quickly, this is actually still definitely game relevant because so many games work off of this randomization. Is seven the most common dice roll with two dice?
Yeah.
I thought...
Because you've got so many different ways to make a seven versus the other, versus the others.
So you're saying that there's...
It is seven, yeah.
Yeah, because it would be... It's because what? You're using two die as opposed to having a 1 to 12 die, like single dice, right?
It's one to 6 is a 7, 2, what is it? 2 to 5 is a 7, 3 to 4, mm-hmm. so on and so forth. I don't know why I thought that 6s and 8s were more probable. You know what? I've played too much Catan. I try and block out 7s from my head and I think 6s and 8s are amazing.
Yeah.
Forgetting that they are... less likely in a distribution.
Put up,
this is
killer.
Interesting.
Okay.
Wait, is that you scratching your hands or rubbing your hands?
It is. Holy shit. Jesus, yeah, you got dude. Sandpaper for hands.
Yeah, you've been washing them a lot, it sounds like.
Higgs, yeah, at least for 20 seconds.
But you haven't been following up with lotion, which is the... that's the mistake.
Yeah, lotion makes my hands slippery, and if you've been at least
if I've been in your hands,
streams, well, I've been building another Gundam kit. Just finished it yesterday, and having slippery hands was definitely a detriment on that first day of building.
Why don't you tell us about the kit you built? You said it was Lupus.
Yeah, I built the Barbatos Lupus Rex
from Iron-Blooded Orphans. It's got a tail.
It does have a tail. If it wasn't, like, all the way upstairs and popcorn, I would totally grab it because its tail's actually, like, detached and in the midair and going for,
that's
like, an attacking
cool.
pose.
Quick question. Do you think it is just, like, you know how we have definitions of different, like, species of animal or, like, different classifications of life? How close do you think it is to breaking that barrier of Gundam to Zoid?
Dude, that last episode, very, very close. Just the way that, I forgot what the actual pilot's name was.
Mickey? Is it Mickey? I watched that whole show and I thought, man, I like this a lot. And then I got to the end and I was like, I wasted all my time. I don't know what happened, but I just completely, like, I had a 180 in the opposite direction of a lot of shows.
Wait,
that I
it really
end up watching
went that
a long
bad
time.
At the end?
I don't even think it was.
For you?
I don't even think it was that bad. I just think, like, at some point, I was like, you know, actually, I don't give a shit about this. Like, it's not like the show was bad. I don't want to say they did anything wrong, but I just felt much more entrenched and, like, interested in the show. And then as it progressed, I was like, actually, fuck these orphans. I don't care.
Well, makes sense.
Yeah.
But they've got, like, the coolest weapons, and they reacted to actual trauma accurately.
I thought it was good until I didn't. And that's why it makes it a complex thing to talk about. Is I don't have many criticisms, except I lost interest in the characters themselves. But it's also, I think, because they killed my favorite characters, and the remaining cast was less... just less appealing overall.
It was because they killed Biscuit, wasn't it?
You know, I was going to say Biscuit was near the top of that list.
Maybe I should warn chat that I'm going to ask something spoilery for regarding Iron-Blooded Orphans.
Okay. Chat, cover your ears if you care about spoiling the TV series that came out like 3 or 4 years ago.
Is it? Has it been that long? I don't know. Is this one of those shows where basically like... Because a few other shows have done this where shows or manga or stories where it's like line up the child cast of characters or not even just children, but line up your cast of characters and you guys are going to pilot the mechs one after another. The more like as soon as one of you dies, another one's going to go up and then you're going to die at some point, and then the next character goes up, just constantly pulling at your heartstrings?
Yes and no. So, yes, in a sense of constantly pulling at your heartstrings because any character could die at any moment. No, because I think there are only like 4 or 5 of the actual cast of like 20 something that actually got to pilot Gundams in Tekkaten, at least the family of the children who were piloting them.
Is the main character the same all the way through, like however many seasons?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so you would think, but I'd like to argue that Mickey is not the main character, or whatever his name is.
Is he like the Deadeyes, like one with black hair?
Yeah, he's the Deadeyes one with black hair. I like to think that the older brother character, that lead head of Tekkaten, was the main character of the series. And that could be why you stopped liking it, Scott, because spoilers, he dies in a really stupid way. It was just dumb. Dumb decisions all around on his part. It's just like, dude, why are you not wearing a bulletproof vest? You know you're wanted and being hunted down by lots of people. Two,
he's also not dumb. That's the other thing. Like, he's normally pretty smart and tactical the whole way through.
Until he gets
shot. He's not, yeah.
Until he's not. And then it's like, dude, why are you still standing up? Just fall to the ground covering the person that you're trying to save. Don't stand there and take these bullets like a man. Take the one and be like, oh. Fall over on top of the child so he doesn't get killed. You save his life and you probably lived.
Dramatic effect makes people really stupid sometimes.
Higgs, yeah. Even all of the people that were around him are like, boss, that was really stupid. And he's like, it's okay because we represent Tekkaten. Blood. Continue on with the mission. You've got this. Blood. Falls over dead. But he makes changes throughout the series. You see his struggles that he goes through. But Mickey, the entire time, he's pretty much just like, all right, Ota, I'll do whatever you say that you want me to do. Let's go.
Yeah, he's one of those plot device characters where it's just like, yes, we need to move the plot forward. Time to, like, activate this character that is otherwise not that interesting.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Hey, man, but at least he gets laid. At least he gets laid.
And then has another woman raise his child? Is that it?
Yeah, he kind of dies.
Yeah, it's a very alpha move. He's got two women that like him, and he's just like, well, I'm going to have a kid with one of you, and then the other one, you're going to feel so pressured into being a parent with the loss of me that it's going to happen.
My eyes are glazing over with this story now.
That's right. Yeah, maybe that's where that was a little bit further after I fell out, but I think that could have been the nail in the coffin where I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Good times. But yeah, so I decided to build the Lupus Rex for one of my friends who's getting married eventually. It was supposed to be next month, but it's no longer next month due to this crazy world. And he's always wanted a Lupus Rex and really enjoyed one of my builds where I did like battle damage on the build and made it look gritty and real.
Did you get just a tiny, tiny little gun and shoot at it? Because that would be pretty cool.
And by a tiny, tiny little gun, I got a drill. Or in fashion of Iron-Blooded Orphans, since one of the characters actually used like a giant pair of pliers to crush other...
Yeah, yeah, that's
crush
right.
Other,
that was cool too.
Gundams. Got pliers.
I gotta say, the combat in that show was good. It was very fun. They essentially had did they call them javelins? The like almost... It was essentially like an RPG, like rail gun or single shot, yeah. Like piercing round. That was pretty cool. And then, yeah, there was pliers guy. That was a lot of fun. And then the tail on Lupus. I forgot. Lupus Barbarossa Rex.
Nope. Barbatos Lupus Rex.
Barbatos. I wanted to say Lupus Brachus Rex. So,
but yeah, so the frame is called the Barbatos. And then he's got like 17 different forms throughout the entire series, because every time it goes out, it pretty much gets destroyed with the pilot in critical condition at some point, losing all function of one of his arms and his left eye.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all good, because he still got to kill that one person, and that's all that matters.
Neil, what have you been up to?
I guess first off, being happy that I do not participate in a new Gundam too often. But
we just said we liked it mostly.
I don't know. There's just like a level of melodrama to
it's soap operatic, but I found both
Neil
soap opera is awful and amazing at the same time.
Neil, weren't you the one who told me the difference between Gundam and Mecha is the soap opera portion of it?
No, I said the space drama.
There's a political coup involved, an overthrowing of the old regime and the new regime versus the government. Ah, it's so Gundam, Neil.
I don't know what it is. I like my Universal Century timeline better, I guess.
Can't beat the UC, where things just keep getting worse.
No, as you guys were talking, I was kind of like jumping through the Iron Blooded Orphans wiki, and I was struggling with a few of these things.
I've got another great mecha for you. Have you ever heard of something called Code Geass?
I actually really like Code Geass in like an unironic way. I don't know if I'd still like it if I watched it today, but...
Which Lelouch did you like, though, out of the 13 that they are?
Wait a second. There's a new Code Geass coming out, if it's not already out, right?
It's already out.
I probably kind of want to watch that.
No, you don't.
No, is it bad? It's...
You know, after the Lelouch of the Rebellion, everything just went downhill for me for Code Geass. Because then they had, like, the chibi version of Code Geass. Then there was the one where his sister, the blind chick, was, like, in a fairy tale dream realm.
Yeah, you're going so far down the rabbit hole of spinoffs. I'm talking about the newest one that's supposed to be, core. Like, this third season or movie or something.
Every time they released another Code Geass, I'd be like, oh man, I really love Lelouch of the Rebellion. What's going on with this one? I regret it. I regret all of this. Why?
So, slight spoilers just due to the title of it, but is this not Lelouch of the Resurrection that we're talking about?
Yes, this is Lelouch of the Resurrection.
It's bad?
Maybe. I haven't seen it because all the other Code Geass was like,
yeah, there's spinoffs. There's spinoffs. That's all we have to say. There's spinoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, though, outside of the whole Gundam talk, so to speak. Sorry. One second. Is that? Oh, great, great meme there. Good work. Good work, Scott. Post that in a Twitch chat so everyone can enjoy that.
Oh, I'm on it.
I cannot see or walk properly, but even I can see why kids love Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I actually don't know how to post it into the chat.
Don't worry about it, then. It's fine.
Next time.
I was going to say, if you want, I can just show my Discord channel.
No, it's, no. You're playing with fire
exactly.
Right now. Going to reveal some like horrible messages that you've sent to people, like demanding money.
That you've sent
to people because you're demanding money from people. Otherwise, you're going to kill them or something. Some blackmail.
Cookie did threaten me earlier that I told him my weakness and that I was going to regret that. We're talking less than 20 minutes ago.
There you go.
I literally did just do that.
I'm not making things up. Cookie is a dangerous man. Anyways, outside of that, though, I worked a bunch this past week, and I'm finally now like isolating myself a little more than I was before. I haven't left since getting back from work on Friday. And I plan to stay in this house for as long as I can.
So we may have to talk about this offline, but what are you doing for your job now?
I work from home.
But like, didn't your job like always require you to travel a lot?
Oh, yeah. So that's we have communications that have been sent out that are basically like, hey, obviously don't take planes. And if you have to travel, then... it's time to drive. And if the drive is too long, then we'll find someone else to do it for you. Like someone that lives closer to the location.
Smart. Nice.
I mean, like, I'll be honest. I would say that I am lucky enough that my work is something that has to continue or is going to continue. And I'm not like one of the many people that are being let off work or put on like essentially a leave of absence until things normalize enough.
I mean, even some people are getting people who are not being outright fired. I have friends who are in some pretty like, I'd say big industries that are just being furloughed. You know,
that that's exactly the term that I've heard. Like someone I was talking to without naming names, that way there's nothing that may or may not like come back to bite him, them, or myself in any sort of meaningful way. They were telling me that they had let go or furloughed 200 people in one day,
mm-hmm.
just over the nature of what they had to do. It wasn't my work or business anyways. Nothing related to that. But outside of that, like I'm just enjoying the peace and quiet of social distancing and isolation.
It's just our everyday life at this point.
Yeah.
Heart goes out to all those people being furloughed. I'm sorry. I'm also in an industry that must continue.
Podcasting. So, yeah.
We're all toilet paper manufacturers, so
that's right. We're going nuts right now. Honestly, I'm going to be in trouble for not being at work pretty soon.
Uh-oh.
Because he doesn't have any toilet paper.
That's right. Yeah, I'll be in trouble because I don't have any of my own supply. I've been donating to the cause.
I was going to say, I've been looking at bidets on Amazon, like, for serious now. Like, why not?
So, does the bidet that you're looking at have an adjustable pressure?
All bidets have an adjustable pressure.
Yeah, even the cheapest have adjustable pressure. It's just sometimes the scale between the adjustable pressure goes from like slight misting to enema very quickly. And that's really where like the price point starts to change things. You get a more linear progression and less of the like exponential curve.
There's a point where like the bidet is only going to do more harm than good, right? If it's a gentle mist, all it's doing is making the situation more messy, right?
It may have even been yesterday. I had the exact same observations with people who were talking about the toilet paper crisis of 2020. And I said, well, we have a bidet here, so it helps a lot, but you still have to use it properly because the mist only swampifies like any sort of contact.
Okay, not to get gross, but what
we're
I'm
already
curious
being
about,
very graphic.
No, it's getting
we
even
crossed
worse.
The line.
It's getting way worse. Do you have to learn to, or not learn? Do you have to build up a tolerance to the bidet?
I don't think so.
No, you don't. You don't just.
I think it's like maybe after the first or second time of using it, you're like, okay, I get it.
But have you ever thought that maybe you could go stronger for a better clean?
Are you asking if I've like built a tolerance to power washing? Because that's one hell of a question.
Like, have you found that using a bidet has enhanced life outside of the bathroom?
Well,
like enjoyment of other things?
I don't know where you're trying to take it. I'd say it's improved the bathroom experience, and that's really all it has to do or should be doing. And if there are other benefits that are conferred, it doesn't really matter, and it's not worth getting into.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about
this episode
picking up.
Of the Fancy Roman Podcast, brought to you by a tolerance to power washing. That's the name of this episode now. At this point,
yeah, we've really, you know, sometimes we go through an episode pretty straight laced, and other times the you know, doors to Pandora's box get open just right away.
Nice. Well, Neil, okay, it's all for power washing that booty.
I'm looking up bidets right now, and there's a lot of handheld bidets, which
sounds
spells
scary.
Success to, or yeah, success. Sorry, not success. It spells a mess.
Disaster.
To me. Disaster. Yeah. A handheld wireless bidet. Ooh.
Isn't that a super soaker?
Oh, God.
Let's move on to a different topic. Anything else you guys have left to talk about
before we talk about video games?
I saw Neil in
person
last week.
Oh, yeah. That's right. You said that it was after the podcast. You talked about going to the Asian supermarket, and that kind of triggered the thought to me that I needed to get more rice. So I went. We ran into each other. I was wearing a mask on at the time, and I think you guys were worried that I was sick because I had a mask on.
Maybe mentally ill. You can't just walk around with that like Teddy mask on all the time. Nobody else likes Persona 4 that much.
Dude, if you gave me a Teddy outfit, I would wear that out in public at least a couple times.
Oh, I know.
Dude, everyone would. Who wouldn't?
I would not.
I'm surprised that Morgana gets so much hate in Persona 5.
Doesn't deserve it.
Yeah, and Teddy...
I was going to say Morgana's a lot less annoying than Teddy.
No, I think a lot of people hate about the going to sleep thing.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Morgana is more of your parent, and Teddy's just more of a drunk uncle type figure.
At least they don't touch you at night.
He does have a... So I actually never got that far in Persona 4, right? But he does have essentially like a more aggro persona. Is that correct for when he's actually doing combat?
Did you get that far?
No, I didn't. I'm saying I didn't, but I thought he battled with you at a certain point, right?
Yeah, he does. He does.
So he does have that like dark side that comes out later.
In a manner of speaking, yes.
Gotcha.
I mean, Morgana has a freaking Zoro persona, excuse me.
Which is great, but Zoro's, you know, a hero of justice.
Whereas Teddy is
literally
an
angry bear. Yeah. have you played any games that have come out in this decade?
I can start then real quick. Unless you guys have something urgent to say.
I have something urgent to say.
Go ahead, Cookie.
Neil, start.
So I finally got caught up and passed the point of play in Your Turn to Die. It's that one game that you could try for free on your phone, or it's a free visual novel game that combines elements of Danganronpa, 999, Phoenix Wright, kind of, all sorts of things together. And the second chapter's been surprisingly interesting. In particular, like, it starts to play with this element of like a really open-ended system of having to trade tokens or like trade items with other characters, make choices that seems to imply like replayability values to it. And that's really all I have to say about it. That while the story does kill off some characters that I thought were really interesting way too early, I would say that I have been enjoying that game way more than I expected. So, Scott, like, you liked I, you should try giving the mobile version of Chapter 1 a try at one point.
I still have it saved on my bookmarks, so I will probably get to it. It's been a... what do you call it? It's been an introvert's paradise recently with having to stay indoors, so I've been playing a lot of video games.
That makes one of us.
Yeah.
So is that all you've been playing?
Yeah, that's really the only thing that comes to mind. Dark Souls 3 and some other things on stream, but nothing worthwhile to talk about there.
Well, here's what I'll talk about. I ended up buying Animal Crossing for the wife. And she just started playing it about 30 minutes ago.
Oh, so she just picked it up.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot. I started playing that too.
Sierra's been playing since yesterday as well. Actually, right behind me, she's playing it.
I'll be honest. Like, since this is maybe like one flaw to the game that I'm not a huge fan of, if someone plays it on that Switch, that is the island. So if you decide to start playing Animal Crossing, you're on that island, and like you can potentially lose out on a lot of like the I mean, it's not like it's really that big of a deal at all, mind you, but like you lose out a bit on the unique experiences that you would have on your first time playing it, like choosing the island, obviously getting like the intro cutscenes or some of the cutscenes with Tom Nook. And some of those like side things. But the game also does intentionally let you experience certain things regardless of whether or not you're one person playing different characters. Like you get certain ceremonies that you can play or go through even if your Switch partner already has gone through that ritual or ceremony or whatever. So I can't really say I've had like a lot of firsthand experience at it outside of getting bitten by spiders and stung by bees occasionally.
So do you get to share access to the island, but you can have like different homes essentially, or is that a no-go?
Yep, you have different homes, but the island is shared from amongst the group, which also right. means okay. you can definitely go and fuck up their exterior,
piss off
of
their neighbors
house.
Yeah, go
so
plant trees.
Question,
I'm gonna do this like right after the podcast. I'm very excited. Sorry.
So I was gonna say, so question, would it be best, because I know I do want to, that I may want to play with Lizzie, and I was trying to decide if I was just going to get my own copy and then we just kind of island hop with each other, or do you suggest like throwing it up on the TV with the Switch dock because we can both just play split screen or whatever like that two-player mode is?
I would say that it would be, I can't tell you if it's worth buying a second copy for your second Switch. But what I would say is that that would give you a unique experience, and one where you can go through the early game and like the slow build up of your fossil and museum collection and all of those things. Like if you are a big fan of Animal Crossing, I think you should absolutely just buy your own game, because if you're just going to play with her on the same console, it's kind of one of those Resident Evil Revelations 2 moments where like one of you is Claire Valentine and the other one is Moira, who only has a crowbar, if that makes sense.
It's an act two.
It's certainly like it, yeah, it's like the second player is very much a second player as opposed to two characters with the same level of agency.
The little brother play style.
Yeah, but it's really easy to switch between the two. Like, you can switch those roles just by, well, literally shaking your controller.
So when the little brother gets mad and wants control. Interesting. Okay.
Now, that all said, if you're not necessarily that into like building up your own islands and you want to do more of like a cooperative thing, while you can go and visit their island still, and then you'd have, I'm assuming, we haven't done this because we only have one Switch, obviously, but I'm assuming you'd have like the ability to travel far from each other and so forth. You could do that, but if you wanted to be able to like be on that island when she's not playing and vice versa, not necessarily vice versa, because it would be her island. But then you would actually want to just play on the same Switch, because otherwise the only way to go to her island is if she were playing and then you get on and she invites you to the island or whatever the hell you have to do. Again, I might not know that all like perfectly. There are kind of some assumptions I've made just from seeing the system of the game in action, so to speak.
Okay.
But I can quickly say that as someone that has never played Animal Crossing before, but has, you know, watched quite a bit of the original Animal Crossing, watched the story, you know, seen all the cutscenes. No, I've watched Tiff play and so on. This game does seem like it's a pretty huge improvement, at least from the original game. I know there have been increments before or iterations before. But there are some surprisingly cool things. Like the first time you walk into the museum, you know, all the houses are really small on the map. They're like not, or you know, like 9 tiles large. You walk into this museum and it turns out to be like maybe one of the coolest things I've seen in a game of this nature, including things like Harvest Moon or Stardew Valley, or I should say Story of the Seasons now. I don't want to belittle the fact that this game seems to actually have some really cool moments hidden away in it.
Nice.
Already, yeah. You've just started playing.
Yep. That's all I can really talk about for games.
I mean, I can say just watching Sierra play it, it probably has the most adorable UI I have ever seen. I mean, your cute little cell phone, all of the pretty basic but colorful icons. It's kind of eye candy to just watch a little bit.
I could absolutely come up with better alternatives to some of the UI elements.
But how about how they look?
Yeah, they look good. They look fine. Yeah. They look better than good, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I sort of wish that there was... I kind of wish, like, I feel like Minecraft is very, or games like Minecraft, Terraria, Starbound, and so forth. And as a person that plays most video games on PC, it almost feels like most menu systems become cumbersome in comparison. But I feel like that might be a very unfair comparison or an unfair criticism for a game that you're playing on, you know, a D-pad, an analog stick.
Mm-hmm.
What have you guys been playing this week?
Call of Duty. It's back.
How's that the Battle Royale?
Yeah, the new Battle Royale mode has actually brought me back in for the... I don't know why. I wasn't really interested in Blackout for the last Call of Duty game when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I played it every once in a while, but it didn't really, like, do anything for me. I just didn't like the whole having to, like, navigate the inventory system. But this new one, it's, like, it's set up to where you're not picking up just individual scopes or parts and you have to mod out and customize your gun. It's quite literally, you drop in with the pistol, and if you find a gun, or when you find a gun, that gun either has attachments or it doesn't have attachments. And the more attachments a gun has, its scale of like rarity goes up, because obviously if you got a gun with no attachments, it's a common gun. Versus a gun with all five attachments on it, then you're going to have like the golden shiny, what you call it. But it is, it's set up in such a way that, I guess the part that I really like the most about it is the fact that when you die, you've got the ability to come back, even if you're playing in solos, by going to shoot it out in the gulag. So they pretty much put you in a 1v1 arena with another person who's also died on the battlefield. And the person who wins that fight gets dropped right back in for the... dropped right back into that battle royale.
They call it the gulag?
Yeah, man, they send you to the gulag.
It's pretty intense.
Yeah, and the map that they put you in is like a Soviet Russian mostly destroyed bathroom, and you just gotta fight it out. They give you... I mostly have played it with pistols, but I've seen some rounds with shotguns. I think I've seen one with like sniper rifles. But it's a nice little change of pace from just like not playing that.
So do you end up all having essentially the same weapons in these?
In the gulag or in
Yeah, so is it like when you're in the gulag battle, everybody's given a knife or everybody's given a shotgun or everybody gets a sniper rifle? Okay.
Yep, and then there are like, when it's not your turn to fight, you can actually watch the fight as it's going down because you're in like this balcony area, and you can throw rocks at the people fighting to like change the outcome. So if you're playing the team version of the Battle Royale and your entire team gets wiped, you can essentially help your teammate who's actually fighting by throwing rocks at the other person. It like doesn't stun them, but it causes them to flinch. So like they get the little hit marker. It doesn't seem like it does damage because I've been hit by a couple
cursor
of rocks.
Or like, but yeah, your cursor goes crosshair. Yeah, they're crosshair jerks.
But yeah, so I've been playing a lot of that, and then along with the Call of Duty, since I'm playing it on PC and I now have access to my Battle.net account, I've also gotten back into Overwatch. I suck at that game. That game is very different than it used to be.
Yeah, I haven't played since they added a hamster.
Fuck Hamtaro. That's all I've got to say. Like, all night, Hamtaro was fucking our shit up. That stupid hamster. But yeah, that was about the last time I played as well. So since then, they've also added another black guy healer, who's like a healer version of, a distance healer version of Soldier 76. Because he's got his own little machine gun, but he's got a noob tube, but the noob tube explodes heals.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So got to play a little bit of him.
But he only heals other black characters. That's what you're saying.
Pretty much.
And that's, he's very selective. He says, Soldier 76, you're on your own, old white man.
It's terrible.
When you say another black healer, does
Lucio.
That...
Lucio is the other guy.
Does that mean that the black pop, or black population, sorry, no, the black presence in Overwatch is mainly healers at this point?
No, damage dealers. You got the fist guy, Doomfist.
Oh yeah, you got Doomfist. You've got, you know what? I'm gonna claim Pharah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna claim Pharah as one of our own, and same with the Indian chick, even though they're Egyptian and Indian, but I'm gonna claim them. I'm gonna claim them for the black cause.
When you say claim, it just reminds me of Dave Chappelle's race. The race draft.
Yeah, no, it's pretty much what it's in relation to. Because at this point, black people were allowed to claim whoever we want. Because we were actually talking about this last night. That whole question of if you can go back in time, where would you go? And like, if you're a white person with blonde hair and blue eyes, you've got the pick of the litter.
Yeah.
But if you're black, it's pretty much like last week, maybe. I'll do 2009 when Obama became president. We'll go there. Yeah, sure.
Buy stocks when they're low.
Yeah. It's like I would not want to go back to like the 70s because, you know, at least now when a cop will billy club you, there'll be some kind of social outcry, but in the 70s, there really wouldn't be a social outcry.
They would get a medal.
Pretty much.
Then they'd hit you with that.
Oh no, the head writer left Overwatch?
Oh,
Left Blizzard? That's sad.
But not the least bit surprising.
No, not at all.
He left it to work on Overwatch 2, right? Which, I guess, when is that coming out? What's the news on that? Big
dude, I just assume nothing's coming out anytime anymore for the foreseeable future.
What is happening to your audio?
I don't
audio?
Know what's happening on the audio.
Uh-oh. Oh no. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Kind of.
I can now.
You can now?
Were you the one going...
Oh, yeah, that would have been me. Give me a sec.
Sounded buzzy.
That's what I was telling you about these cheap lavaliers, man. Time to up the quality a bit. Look at the COS 11D. What are we looking at for prices here? $379. There. That's not too bad, right?
Oh, I am actually planning on getting we're getting like a bonus check from work. So I was thinking, okay, I'm going to use that bonus check for like a really good camera along with the Cam Link. So I'm going to get a DSLR.
Ooh, and then, No, not a DSLR. Go mirrorless. Go DSLM.
Oh, yeah. Well, that.
Yeah, definitely avoid the DSLRs. They do not usually handle being on for like significant amounts of time that well. What the hell is happening?
Sorry, I was changing battery. Am I back now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Man uses a wireless lavalier at his desk. What the hell?
Hey, man. I don't like having a microphone just right in my face. So, yes, I'll also look at mics.
No, I mean, you should do what you want with your money, so to speak. I don't want to influence you at all.
No, I was actually planning on looking at other mics and things. I was actually, as soon as they told me I was getting a bonus check, my first thought was, ooh, I can build another PC.
As long as you're stimulating the economy.
Doing my best, coach. Doing my best. Amazon and those Amazon delivery drivers. My heart goes out to you guys. Thanks. Thanks for keeping the world running. Norman Reedus and the like. I forgot what I was talking about before my microphone issue happened.
We did too. I mean,
before that, we were talking Call of Duty.
Call of Duty and
then
Overwatch.
We moved into Overwatch. And then we just decided that most everything is probably going to be delayed. Potentially, I don't know. Video games could still benefit quite a bit from the fact that they're transitioning already mostly to digital sales. And people are going to be indoors looking for things to do for the foreseeable future.
Heggs, yeah. So
It's an okay market to be selling games, probably.
I heard that movies were also going to start doing like...
I'm so glad that you brought this up because I wanted to talk about this and I already have seen it implemented on like the little dashboard for my PlayStation 4. When I go to watch something, there are ads for movies that would currently be in theaters streaming, and it's $20 to rent the movie.
That's steep.
Mm-hmm. It is steep. It's assuming that at least two people are willing to watch it and that to have a comparative profit to the ticket price you'd get at the movie theater. You know, they want $20, which is roughly, you know, two tickets to the theater and then a purchase of a quarter of a concession because concessions be expensive. But
I don't know what movie theaters you'd be going to, but my tickets be $5 a person.
That's amazing.
We go Sunday mornings.
Okay, Sunday mornings, Tuesdays, all great days to see movies. Yeah, you get the discounts.
So Serial Killer in chat also points out that like being able to stream this also makes the content extremely piratable. Because if you have a capture card like the three of us, well, the two of us do, all you have to do is run the HDMI out of your computer into a capture card and bam, or whatever device you're playing. So I understand why they're also keeping the price a little on the steeper side, because I'm guessing that they're trying to warrant like having the cost high enough that it weighs out the possible risks of that happening. I don't necessarily know if... I don't know if that's what they're thinking,
risks.
But I'm guessing that's what they're doing. And I don't necessarily think that's the right move to make, but...
I'm too lazy to pirate things. I'd rather just pay for it and make sure that it's good audio quality. I lived that life of pirating things back in college, not admitting to anything, but having to like scrub through an entire episode of something just to make sure that it doesn't go black halfway through the episode. Too much work involved.
I mean, I remember watching a kid in my AP biology class get slapped with a cease and desist because he had like a $5,000 lawsuit for pirating against him if he didn't. So I never got into it.
Damn, that's intense.
It was really crazy. And I was like, this is a world I will never delve into because I can't afford that.
You wouldn't steal a car, would you? So don't steal media. Stealing is stealing. Pirating is stealing. No matter what you're stealing. I'd totally steal a car.
But apparently watching someone steal a car is perfectly fine, and that's why you can just stream things online.
Yeah.
So, what have you been playing, Scott?
I have probably put 25 to 30 hours into Prey since last week. Big dump of time. I think when I spoke about it last time, I was just starting it up after they made some updates and modifications to the game that made a like sort of survival aspect a little bit more pronounced in the gameplay. And it's been fantastic. I liked the game when it first came out. I thought it was good to solid. But since the update, it's been a ton of fun. And there's actually a couple of like really, I think, underappreciated things that they did in that game I did not notice or recognize the first time on how like good they are and how I hope to see that innovation in the future in other games. Primarily, one of the things is this is a game in which you can have a lot of like weapons or equipment, and you can have a bunch of Typhon powers like later in the game. And so instead of having like a hot bar or hot wheel that has maybe 9 to 10 items on it, the game is set up where you can have pretty much all of your powers, all of your weapons, anything that's usable in your character's right hand, which is, you know, your primary hand for like throwing weapons, swinging wrenches, firing guns, and then all of your Typhon powers, which are assumed to be like either a mental execution or something you do with your hand, which, you know, left mouse, right mouse button. Those all appear on this hot wheel. But instead of making the hot wheel get crowded and like thinner or the icons smaller or just having a limit to what can be packed in there, there's actually a corkscrew design that's really, really cool. So when you go to scroll through it, moving clockwise on the corkscrew actually causes the menu to move. If we're talking about the Z axis being like the depth of field in the screen, it causes the wheel to like move and corkscrew along that Z axis. So you go deeper into the corkscrew of icons. So there are things that are essentially layered behind, say, the 12 o'clock position for the first item, where if you do a full rotation, you're now at the second 12 o'clock position of items. And then if you go counterclockwise, you can rotate back up to the top. It allows you to have big icons that are very, you know, communicative and easy to like, easy to read when you're moving very quickly and making selections, because you don't have small icons. You get a pretty good idea of like the cooldown on different powers because the bars are relatively big and clear, easy to see. You can choose weapons without needing any sort of like additional info besides the outline of the gun, because you are able to have like a pretty large icon for that as well. And then all of the other like supplementary icons for health and patching your suit and whatnot are, at least in the computer version, just keys that are very close to the WASD, like finger positions. So Q, E, I think Z, and then maybe C. Yeah. Q, E, Z, and C. I don't think X is involved. You can essentially hit one of those and then it will positively impact one of your status bars with either a suit patch or a med kit or eating food or restoring like your psi meter. It's all super, super quick and convenient. And I didn't realize how good it was the last time when I played, because I wasn't playing with enough stuff to really fill up my my dial. And that's why I never saw it. I only had the usual like round hot wheel to select from, because I still had empty spaces or gaps or just a perfect amount to fit it. But as soon as you overgo that, it's this whole new mechanic to work with your hot wheel, and it's really, really good.
So
there's no micromanaging.
So what got you to overextend your inventory?
I picked up all of the like essentially guns that you have available, all of the, I should say, like firing style weapons, and then the wrench, which is obviously the one melee weapon you have in the game. But then I picked up a bunch of Typhon powers, and any power that you have that's a right mouse button click begins at the front of that wheel, and then equipment and gear loads in after it. And because I still need to use the grenades pretty frequently, there are a variety of grenades, and I actually like how many there are in this game and their variety. To access one of them, I knew it was on my hot wheel previously, but the powers had like bump some things around. When I went to rotate to the further end, I watched that actual corkscrew happen on the screen until I got to the grenade that I wanted. I thought, this is a brilliant way to navigate this. And once you rotate past kind of all of your available options, it resets you back to the top, or essentially the origin of the corkscrew too. So although you can move like up and down it, if you do say like two full rotations on mine right now with how it's filled, it just takes you back to the very front, as opposed to you like sticking or stopping or also going down like an endless loop until the last item like disappears from it, which is a very, like, it's a small detail that they've already got this very clever mechanic for, but the fact that they even had the convenience of not making it any more arduous to go get to the item that you want to than absolutely necessary was, I thought, a really, really good touch. It was really smart. I would say when it comes to the actual like game itself, on some other underappreciated items I encountered from the last time I played, I didn't realize how much the like physics interactions with a particular item called the Huntress Bolt Caster could be utilized in the game. You can set grenades to just be mines if you place them on the ground, and then they need like proximity or activation of like physical contact to go off. You have this little thing that you can 3D print that is a Nerf like crossbow, more or less, called the Huntress Bolt Caster, and it has these squeaky little foam darts, and you can use these to interact with electronic screens. It's essentially capacitive touch, so it allows you to use any sort of touch screen from a distance with the Bolt Caster. So you can turn things on and off and like manipulate a computer that's behind like bars, for instance, by shooting through it, which is very clever. You can use the kinetic impact of these tiny little foam darts to make some of these more like volatile Typhon enemies that are called cystoid nests that explode with like fire damage and radiation. You just have to tap them with the Bolt Caster to get them to explode, and then you can lead away the like almost heat-seeking little cystoid enemies that they release upon explosion with the Bolt Caster. You can use it to set up ambushes with the little squeaky noise to get Typhon to investigate, and you can even activate grenades that you've placed on the ground by hitting them with the Bolt Caster. This item that I thought was nearly useless last time actually has like really phenomenal utility. And since it's foam bolts, you're not wasting ammo. So, or I shouldn't say you're not wasting ammo. There are plenty of times where you'll fire it and you can't retrieve it. But if you can retrieve it, you just get to pick up your little Nerf bolts and move on. So it's really conservative with ammo. So playing on this higher difficulty and survival mode, where resources become really scarce, it's like a super useful tool to actually get through the game. It's felt a lot more, it's just felt better all around. It's felt more difficult in the areas where I wasn't having as much difficulty previously. And it's forced me to utilize a lot of the game's mechanics a lot more. And it's one of those games that I think has gotten better and better with the range of abilities that I've picked up and how creative I can approach any situation. Nice. It gives me vibes of like Dishonored was such a great game, in my opinion, because the stealth opportunities were just an absolutely myriad of options. You could do so many different things, and the combat was really clean. In this game, you're an engineer, you kind of suck ass at combat. So instead, you have to be very, very like creative or clever at these higher difficulties on how you want to engage in combat, because your enemies move very fast and they can dodge and they have these psionic powers that will literally just tear you apart in very short order. And so getting more and more tools on the tool belt, it's much more like a Batman who can't fight enemies experience, where you're essentially just going through like, well, will this work? I'm going to try something weird here. Like, let's get creative with these approaches on how to fight this enemy that one-on-one I will get absolutely dunked on. I'm growing a new love for this game, I think. I don't know if I'll play it a second time after I finish. Maybe not right away, but it's got a lot of like really fun tactical creativity that isn't accessible if you don't dip into those Typhon powers a little bit. And they also unlock parts of the story, I think, that are walled behind the conditional of you picking up Typhon powers or not. So the story is actually different from the last time I played it as well.
That's pretty cool.
It is, yeah. Once you pick up Typhon powers, you start to have these like flashbacks or like quick little flashes of potentially memory that make you, I think, a lot more paranoid and suspicious about people's intentions on the station and your own like origins. I think it's fair to say that my understanding of who my character was has been subverted several times now with how picking up the Typhon powers has impacted how I interact with others, how the story responds, and, you know, how my character works.
Are you telling me that maybe you were special this whole time, Scott?
I'm thinking so. I'm thinking this game, this power trip, is telling me that I was special the whole time.
The kids in school didn't realize it, but you were actually the coolest one.
You know, it's a real shame that, like, video games reflect life so clearly and so accurately that, like, yeah, you are more special and different from every other person out there.
Holy.
No, it's interesting because I think what I like especially about it is the first time I played, I thought, I feel like there's more room, there's like more wiggle room in this story to develop the character of Morgan Yu, who is your character. And then, of course, by taking the first Typhon power and accessing that, I was like, oh, I'm an idiot. I just didn't get to it last time. Like, I didn't do the conditional thing for this obvious element of the story, or for an obviously like second element being added to the story. There's a lot of interesting background now that I've picked up a Typhon power where I'm questioning who my character is and like what is reality. And because you're on this like derelict space station with these you know, psionic alien beings, it only adds to that like suspicion and paranoia. And everybody's trying to survive too, with your character's stated goal, but I don't think like necessarily concrete goal of destroying the space station so the Typhon don't get off of it and don't spread. Prey, surprisingly good on the second, like on the second attempt. Oh, go ahead.
Would you say that the story is turning out to get better and better as you go further and further then as a whole, or?
It's pretty sparse. It's good environmental storytelling, which I've noticed, like, Arkane has been good at that in the Dishonored games, and I'd say they strike about the same balance with Prey. There is the overarching story, the conflict of, you know, your character with your brother who is on the station, and at least for most of the time I've been playing, has been in conflict with your goals and your progression. And I'm to a point where there should be some sort of resolution where either I'm going to interact with my brother Alex Yu at some point in time very soon on the station, and so that should provide some sort of like twist or change to the story. But I would say outside of like that always going on in the background, the small little interactions between other members of the crew and essentially accessing their history through logs and like audio recordings and then characters who are still alive, like there are a lot of cool secondary story beats that become more and more interesting as the station opens up and becomes not only more accessible, but also more dangerous as the Typhon start to infest like in greater and greater numbers. It's sort of like if you had, it reminds me of Resident Evil 2, if you were stuck in the house the whole time and as you opened it up, more zombies started like coming in, but there were also other characters around. That's the best way I know how to relate it to your particular experience, Neil.
I get you. Well, has anyone else been playing any video games?
I guess I've been playing Eye of the Somnium Files. I don't think I'm going to finish this game.
What? It plays itself.
It does play itself, but it takes so long. It takes so long to play itself.
You gotta have it run in the background.
How far did you get is my question.
Oh, so I'm still planning on playing more of it, but like there are other things that I might want to be playing in those times that I'm playing it.
But how far did you get is what I'm asking.
Well, I solved the mystery. The daughter killed the mother. That's it. She killed her with the ice pick. It's fine.
So you got through the opening cutscene, basically.
And I also learned that that was the daughter and that was the mother. So I also got to meet Aset, and she's already threatened my job.
Spoilers, by the way.
Light spoilers for the first like hour and a half of the game. So I've met Aset. She's already threatened my job. We're sitting in a car right now being appropriate to each other. On our way to the crime scene. Back to the crime scene.
You're taking her to see a dead body? What the fuck's wrong with you?
In my defense, I didn't have a defense to stop her from coming.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with you, man? No, I would say I bet you would... it does take a little bit of time before it starts to pick up. I think Scott can attest to that.
I would definitely say you're not at the interesting part yet.
Yeah, I would say that I think you would find it hard to put down if you played it a little more. I think it's up your wheelhouse because you definitely like the short-skirted girls, too.
We were just playing Love Battle High School last night.
Oh, yes, I know.
But no, I'm still planning on playing it more, but I definitely don't think I'm going to finish it at this point.
You'd be surprised. You haven't hit the part where any of the information's actually all that interesting yet. What you're doing right now is you're following a regular ass murder case, and nobody cares about those. You gotta let the twists start rolling in.
Well, it's obvious that the daughter killed the mom because she got grounded.
You're a bad detective.
Holy shit. I mean, at least he's as good as Date is without the eye.
Hey, man. The daughter killed the mom because the daughter has been having a secret affair with the detective, and the mom found out. So we had to cover it all up. Problem solved.
You have a lot to learn, son.
But if you decide to drop it, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, it got back to Omaha, and that's what matters.
I'm gonna make it to a certain extent, but I just don't feel myself finishing it. It's just like I turn it on and I let it play out, and then it's like, okay, now I got to ask this person very specific questions in order to get to the next part. So about. So your name is Aset, right? Yeah. Let's play a game. Water. Whatever the guy actually says to the Aset game. And then she's like, yeah, I'm Aset.
You bet. Like,
it's like, can I leave now? Hey, guys, if I had to guess your names and ages... Sorry.
Someone would like to guess our names and ages and jobs. Neil is so triggered right now. No, that's because Neil's age is
about to be guessed.
Oh, God. I'm really not that triggered or anything. Although I'm troubled because I feel like this is right up Cookie's aisle if he gets to a point in the game.
Yeah, you're not that far away from getting, like... It'll either hook you or it won't, but that's coming up pretty soon, so you just got to put in a little more time.
Ace Platinum says, left is Jake, 19, and he dropped out of high school at 16 and has spent the past 3 years as an ice cream scooper.
That's me, I believe.
Have you ever worked at, because Scott, like, don't take this the wrong way, but if you told me that you worked at Ted and Wally's for 4 years, I would believe you.
I would also love
Ted and Wally's. If I worked at Ted and Wally's, I would have never gotten a different job. Ice cream is my passion. I don't know how they guess that, but I mean, I really respect that.
Serial killer adds in the middle is Jim. He's 30, but still working as a paper salesman. His girlfriend's name is Pam. I am the Asian Jim. You're right. Middle is Bert, 26, and a pizza delivery guy.
I like where this is going. I'm just going to let it play out.
I think we let it ride.
While we wait on that,
in grand anticipation.
Man, working delivery must be rough on you, Mr. Ramen. I was delivering a lot of boxes not too long ago, so traversing the wastelands, ooh, looking out for BTs, man, having my trike break down. Oof. Right is Ernie, 39, and a driving instructor and professional farter. What is a professional farter? Is that
I would assume someone who's always wearing a robe and a white t-shirt who just farts professionally.
What you can't see on the other side of the camera is the bum flap worked into the robe.
Does that utilize the fart's force to open up the flap, or does it have some sort of mechanism that you open it up for maximum dispersion?
Ooh.
And more importantly, my question is, can you spread COVID-19 by farting?
Unfortunately, COVID-19 is not spread by farting, but
yeah,
COVID-26 is.
Are you making up numbers?
Yeah, no, he's making it up.
And are you sure that fecal matter does not pass corona?
No, I would definitely caution us from saying anything about that, because we do not know, and it's entirely possible.
So if it did, there's a possibility that farting could, which means I'm more justified in getting mad when people crop dust at work.
Yeah, I mean, you can be mad about that anyway, unless it...
I know, right? It doesn't cause a pandemic to be mad about crop dusters.
You can be responsible about when you fart. In most situations, I think.
Okay, getting back on topic here, if you have comments or questions, you can write into chat now or write into podcast@fancyramen.com. Before I move on from that, Ace Platinum wants to know, what are our favorite forms of public transportation? Scott?
I like the subway, especially the one in Montreal. Very good. A+ transportation.
Hooray, Canada. Cookie?
Vancouver is also good.
So I was really hoping that since Neil was going to go trains, I was going to go planes, and Scott was going to go automobiles. But also, yeah, subways are pretty excellent where they exist, and public transportation's awesome. But if I'm trying to get to places, I like to get to places by plane, because it's a lot faster.
Yeah,
I'd rather
lowly dirigible.
See, I'm the opposite. I feel as if it would inconvenience me horribly, I would still rather take the train. I know that probably from a safety standpoint, it's just as dangerous. But the chances
of encountering a murder mystery are so much higher on the train.
Exactly.
That's way more exciting.
Exactly. Like, murder mystery, hijinks. Trains offer... trains, if not boats, by the way. Trains are amazing.
Right.
So many RPGs have great moments on boats and trains. In Final Fantasy VI, you get to see Locke get seasick while on the boat with Terra and General Leo. Final Fantasy VIII also has a great train scene.
Paper Mario Thousand Year Door, you have a murder mystery on a train for one of the crystal shards.
I need to play Paper Mario, apparently. I was not aware
that's
of a murder
good
mystery.
Game.
Holy crap.
Paper Mario Thousand Year Door is one of my favorite RPGs I've ever played. Very, very good.
One question from Alcade. Alcade SC in chat writes, are you guys going to watch TV, movies, and Animu next week?
I finished all of Watchmen within a week because we had a HBO subscription to burn. A free trial. So if there's any other HBO recommendations, I need them now because I have it for a month and then we're out.
What was that one anime with the guy with the gun for a head? No Guns Life. I'm adding that to my Funimation thing right now, actually.
You're not going to continue watching intersex reviews? Wait, interspecies reviews? What the hell is it called?
Beastars?
What is that streaming on?
Beastars. I don't know what it's going
on. Oh, Beastars was great. Beastars is wonderful. Did finish that. I'm also mostly caught up with the manga of Domestic Girlfriend. Shit has gone down.
Yeah, I told you. I read pretty far ahead, and it's like, what the fuck is going on in this show? How has this much time passed, and he's still fucking around with their hearts?
He's not fucking around with their hearts. Everyone's hearts are fucking around with each other's hearts.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? It's nice being a monogamous person, because holy crap, it's so much easier to avoid drama when you can dedicate yourself to one person.
Nah. My goal is to be in a polycule of like an enormous size until it reaches critical mass. I essentially want to see how many people I can add until it just like collapses inward and we get fusion.
As for me, it's not an anime, but Serial Killer brought this up earlier, and I think it's very important to say that Persona 5 Royal is 1 week away, so that's absolutely what I'm going to be playing constantly. And while I think I might have said last week, I forgot to do a pre-order and was bummed that I wasn't going to get the special the edition, mask. Even though I really don't need it. Turns out I pre-ordered it back in December, so what do you know?
But are you going to get coming. It?
Just What's not that? Checking those credit card statements.
I was
going to
say, but pretty much. Are you going to be, are you going to actually receive it on time?
You know what? It's really stupid, but if I might just get it digitally and keep the box sealed.
That's fine. That's not stupid.
I don't know.
I was actually thinking to myself, Persona 5 Royal, that's PlayStation exclusive, right?
Yeah.
Fuck. Means I have to like play on Lizzie's PlayStation. But that was like really bad quality. No, I won't play it. I was thinking to myself, I do want to play that game. Just due to all the changes, and since I didn't actually beat Persona 5, and when I tried to cheat and watch the Persona 5 anime, the animation of Persona 5, you guys told me that it stops in the stupidest part with the twist.
Does it stop? I didn't watch it.
It took too long for...
No spoilers, just in case there are people that want to play Persona 5 for the first time.
Okay,
coming up.
No, it stopped during the interrogation. The interrogation stopped, and that was the end.
Oh.
You gotta and then break apparently, in to break out. And then that song comes in, and that's it.
Then credits roll. Like the interrogation stops and then credits roll.
Wait, is that the opening? I don't recall.
Hey, how long ago did we try to activate the outro here?
Well, we had questions to answer, and you know what? I don't think we have any emails. But again, if you want to write in, that's a podcast@fancyramen.com. No, you go ahead.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say thanks for tuning in to the live stream at twitch.tv/cookiesmilk, CUKISKMILK. You can also watch Neil, the head of Fancy Ramen, Mr. Fancy Ramen himself at twitch.tv.
Oh my god, you're I was just talking about how I feel it's weird that
can we say it like Mr. Worldwide?
We're not allowed to say that. That's copywritten. But Mr. Fancy Ramen himself at /FancyRamenTV. We've also got the Fancy Ramen B team at @FancyRamen_Artie_Strong_Man and JFrey all day. All one word.
And please tell family and friends about us. The least we can do is spread incorrect coronavirus information, Cookie. to your friends and loved ones. No, but please, the more you talk about the podcast, the more people get engaged and helps us grow.
Wait, are we playing matchmakers? People get engaged?
Remember that like big polycule thing I was talking about moments ago? Anybody, if you want to get engaged, send me an email. We'll work it out. I'm close enough to Utah that we could really put something together in short order.
Also, please don't forget to wash your hands for at least 20 seconds.
That's right. Remember, get in between the fingers, the little thumb to forefinger gaps. Hands over hands. There are great videos on it out in the great wide world of the internet.
And after our recent discussion and revelation, maybe you should wash your ass too.
Power wash the booty. Power wash the booty. Bye, guys.
See you next
week.
Bye,
stream.